So when we gathered last time we were here, the last time we gathered, we talked about the intertestamental period. Yes? I know you won't remember, and that's okay. The intertestamental period was a time between the Old Testament's finality and the New Testament's beginning. Micah to basically where Luke's speaking here. Was God still working? Yes. He did a lot of stuff during those times. Go read Maccabees. Go read some of the other secondary measures of what God was doing. Was he speaking to prophets during those times? Not necessarily, because we don't have any word of it. The Old Testament, we have canonized by the Jews, so the Protestants pretty much look at that Old Testament as good to go. 24 books in the Jewish Old Testament, 39 in our Old Testament. Why? They're the exact same books. Instead of going 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they go Chronicles. Instead of 1st and 2nd Kings, they go. Instead of 1st and 2nd Samuel, and all the small prophets are just called the 12 or the 11, depending on how they'll frame it. So there's your math. Last week we saw when God did speak, it was to an old dude. How old is old in a priesthood? Old. Do it right. Old. Come on, do it with me. 2, 3. Old. That's like an old beard, right? So 50 is when you bailed. Don't raise your hand, but you guys that are over 50, you're kaput. That's done. You couldn't serve anymore in the temple. He was a bit of a redneck in the sense of being from the country, Zechariah. He had a small church in the country. Sound familiar? Outpost? And he got the honor, the one privilege, he got to go in and burn the incense and get in behind the Holy of Holies, wrap a rope around his leg, whatever it would have been. Because, by the way, if they were so succumbed by the Lord, that rope was to pull them out. And while he was there lighting incense, all the people were outside praying while he was in there in the Holy of Holies. Isn't it wonderful that you don't have to go through that? You get to go in the throne room on your own room and own time. Your throne room is not that little thing that has the little lid that you lift up and put down and flush. That's a misgivance, and I wish that was not called the throne room, because the throne room you go into is in your heart, which is in that temple God has placed inside of you where he dwells. You get to have that privilege of what you got to see Zechariah get read to. And what did God say through his messenger? Messenger was Gabriel, right? Gabriel's always the deliverer of the message. He spoke to him, says, God heard your prayer, son. Y'all are going to have a youngin'. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth till his final days. You don't think the Holy Spirit can't talk to littles? You're wrong. This one here that's got a bottle shoved in her gullet right now, Holy Spirit speaks to that little peewee. Do you understand that? The oldest one in here, Holy Spirit speaks. All points in between. Holy Spirit's been around and with him the whole time. Hasn't changed a bit. Just more, we associate him with more now because he's no longer speaking to prophets and Jesus is not footprints on the scene, if that makes sense. I love that we have the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful that we're in this time. Since I'm born in this time and I cannot do about earlier times a thing, I love that I get to go directly before the Lord. And I also lay bare before the Lord. All of my foibles are before him. All of them. No hiding away from that. I love that I can go into that throne room and you can hear stuff from him. I told you a story about the kitty cat last week. Go back and watch that. It's a simple, I'll tell you, simple story. I'm at my house, I'm working away, somebody ding-dongs my bell. I'm like, oh man, get on the ring. I'm like, ding-a-ling, here we go. But the little girl in her Bronco suit had me. So I came out, you know, and I was like, hey guys, as they're walking off, what's going on? We lost our cat. Old cat needs meds, been gone for a day. Uncle is with her, little girl, Bronco outfit. She's totally freaked and panicked. He is. She's not. She's just like, ah. I get a sense to pray for her, not him. He's rattling. And at the end, he goes, oh, a brother. And it was a simple prayer. Lord, just where's that kitty? Make that kitty known to us. So we're done. He goes, oh, he's a brother. There's not many here in Colorado. And I was like, well, we're in the bottom five of saved people in all the states. Here we go, right? All of a sudden, this woman comes flying around the curves, windows down. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. I'm like, what is going on in my neighborhood, right? And we're walking up towards where this guy says, oh, this is my sister up here. And I go up there, and she comes out of the car. She said, when you said amen, I heard, I got a call, and they said they found the cat, and it's right down here. That prayer worked. And she comes running, and she's a meaty girl, you know. She comes running and gives me a hug. The reason I brought that to the forefront, because, you know, I got to make sure that we stop, because I don't want to get hurt. You know, I'm not a young fella anymore, right? And that's why I always tell the young guys, they always want to squeeze me and pick me up. I'm like, don't do that, dude. You know, first of all, I'll take your man card. Yeah. And secondly, I'm easily broken for the Lord, that is. They find the cat, and the little girl's happy. And I walk the husband back from that car. He entered the scene as well. The guy that came to my door was a brother to that woman. And she said, I heard your prayer while I was on the phone. And as soon as that amen came, the call came through, and there was the cat, you know. The husband, a third player, all the way down the street, two blocks around, and he's got this smile. Quiet guy, works at the post office, big smile. Don't worry, I checked for weapons. Sorry, that's an old joke. And we walked, and the whole time he just was talking about how grateful he was that he was going to be able to take this simple prayer story for a simple little girl about her kitty cat, that God would take care of her kitty cat, he'll take care of her. Couldn't get rid of these deep, what do you call those dimples? Deep dimples of smile. Look, you have the Holy Spirit available with you, for his glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Do you understand? Yes, no? Yes, no? Okay. That's where we're at. And that same Spirit is the one that has Gabriel coming and delivering this message. And he's like, bro, I told you, you had a prayer, it got answered. He was so focused on what could not happen that he looked past what could, and it was smitten of his tongue for 9 months. Going to name him John, not another Zechariah. John's not a family name, and we know him as JTB, John the Baptist, right? So JTB's in mom's tummy, 6 months ahead of Mary. Mary comes in, she's got a baby, 3 months are hanging out together. As soon as Mary walks in, John was like, bro, and mom was filled, Elizabeth, with the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit led. That's the first observation of Christ. They're in a liquid room, breathing liquid. They're not even breathing oxygen yet. Here comes Mary, bom, 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 bom. Here's Elizabeth, and little John inside Elizabeth goes like that, just because Jesus was in the womb, in the room, right? Jumped, and that jump caused Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spits out what she says. You got to go read it, and you got to go back and read what Mary said. Amazing prayers in the sense of the Lord being there. That's the scene that we have, right? Mary heads on back. You know, she's 3 months pregnant, and boy, there's some calamity in Nazareth, right? Calamity in Nazareth. That town is called Seed or Branch or Twig of Jesse, right? Who's David's dad? Jesse, is that right? So that's like 17 or 12, well, I can't remember the generations to Jesus. Great, great, great granddad. I think it's times 14, by the way. That's the seed of Jesse. They're going to Bethlehem, 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 right? House, Bit, is house of bread. That's the city of David. Well, I thought Jerusalem was the city of David. It is. City of David as king, city of David as boy. Anointed as king, right? Do you guys remember that story, kind of? Some of you guys watching House of David Prime, right? Yeah. But there's anointing going on. By the way, House of David off a little bit, but still good watching. Better than watching shoot 'em ups and slicing people's eyes open or whatever. So that's Bethlehem. There's a king that was anointed there. When Saul was getting placed by others, and Samuel said, oh, Lord, don't let him put a king in. And that was King Samuel, right? Samuel, Jethro, Bodine, big tall guy, hanging out with the gear when they're asking him to be anointed. And Samuel said, God, don't let it happen. He said, look, the government's going to take a tenth of everything, going to take their kids and all the above to whatever degree. And he says, go ahead and tell them that. They're going to accept that. And we all know this. Or we should know the story of Samuel. If not, go back and read. And then David, this young shepherd man, boy, Samuel sees the violation of what the Lord has for us as humans and how he violated that so openly and willingly. And David had his share of knocks, let's be clear. But in this slice of time, he was anointed king because he had a heart for the Lord, and it was such a deep and desperate heart for the Lord. As we get into this reading today, I want to encourage you with that theme of heart and mind. Listen, now listen. Have a heart for the Lord. If your heart, listen now, if your heart is not for the Lord right now at this setting, at this time, if your heart is not for the Lord, stop right now. Just close your eyes, leave them open. I don't care how you pray, Lord, make my heart yours again. Because it's salty, it's crusty, it's sad, it's hurt, it's broken, it's I don't trust you. Whatever that is, take it before the Lord and allow him to work back in through and to you again. Does that make sense? Can we get there? Yes, no? All right. You know it's interactive. So if you had a long Saturday, first day of the week is right now. And look what you're doing. You're all right here getting it. Let's jump into, we'll have it on the screen because it'll be in the NLT. Let's get into Luke 2, verse 1 through 20. Do we have it? Oh, good. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Okay, go ahead. Let me just go over here. This was the census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and we'll put a little question mark on that one. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time for her baby to be born came. She gave birth to this firstborn son. She wrapped him in snuggling strips of cloth. What do we call the swaddling cloths, right, in the New King James and King James? Because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields. That would have been called Shepherd's Field. Shepherd's Field outside of Bethlehem, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be what? Don't be afraid. You're in the presence of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Fear God, that means to respect him. Respect him. Don't be afraid. I bring to you good news that will bring you great joy to all people. Now, if somebody ever does something like that and prefaces it in such a way, don't wait for the other shoe to drop. You know, accept it as it is. If God says he's got good news, he's got good news. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. They had been waiting on him, right? The Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, right? Snuggly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. Can you imagine? You're sitting there, and there's one angel, and you're freaking because the angel says, chill, man, don't fear. Chill out, right? And then all of a sudden, a boatload of his buddies are there before you. Hallelujah! With gravy. The armies of heaven praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, right? Glory to God and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Wait a minute, I thought an angel told you. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. It's the Lord, fine. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary, and I love this part, she has her little journal in her heart, right? Mary kept all the things in her heart and thought about them often. What a mom, right? Then the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Pretty cool little story, huh? A lot of flyover country there, isn't there? It can be. There's some question marks about the timeline with Quirinius and his governance. There's about a 10-year fade on this. I know that Luke, in speaking to Theophilus, he's getting an accurate account. It may not necessarily be chronological. He's only getting accounts from other people. It may more be theme over theme. So getting that accurate account, and we talked about that last week. You want to go back and listen to it, there you go. The deal is this. I don't get caught up in it. You're taking a 50, 60-year-old time log and going back and talking with folks. Not everybody knows when everything happened perfectly, instantly, save the Christ being raised, right? Which is the only thing that really matters in the walk of a Christian outside of mercy and grace. And so we have a birth, and we have the angels that are coming, and they're announcing this birth. They're saying there is a baby born wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Okay. Swaddling clothes was a normal thing for people. When this baby was earlier on, girl, did you wrap her up like a burrito?
Yeah.
That's how we would say it today, right? Why did you wrap her up like a burrito? Keep her safe? Keep her warm? Did you wrap up your daughter like a burrito? Yeah? Yeah? You? You may not have called it a burrito, but that's what it was, right? In the womb. So guess what? Why would the angels from heaven come in and say something that was so common to man? Swaddling a child. Why? You could go into any room anywhere and see a child swaddled, right? And why did they come to shepherds? You guys know that they're the low man on the totem pole, right? In a socio respect. They're the low man on the totem pole. They're the ones that nobody talks to. They're out with the sheep. They stink like sheep. I was a cattleman. I can't stand the smell of sheep. I just can't. I'll take cattle all day long. But God called us sheep, so here we are. It says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for the inn. Right? And this will be a sign for you. It said in Luke 2:12. You don't have to go there. You can if you choose. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Angels called out, simple, but that is a loaded acknowledgement. Why a sign of swaddling? It's kind of a universal thing, but human in hinting at just a little bit more. That's the Savior of the earth, and they're doing earthly things to him. There's a kindredness that is going on here. You need to understand the idea of kinsman redeemer. Have you heard that before, that Jesus is my kinsman redeemer? That doesn't mean a whole lot to us, does it? Because we don't understand the cultural significance of what kinsman redeemer is. The deal is this. If you got in problems with your land and didn't pay your taxes, you got in trouble, you got in debt, only somebody that was kinfolk to you could redeem you from that. So if my younger brother and I were there and I got in trouble, my brother could redeem that cup of judgment. Did you catch that word? It's called a cup of judgment. Whatever's judged from that cup, that's what's held against you, right? He is showing his kinsmanship in this, being swaddled like lambs, right? It's a practice that every mom did. Yeah, and still does to this day. Bethlehem's shepherds' fields bred lambs for temple sacrifices. Did you know that? You remember that the lamb had to be perfect and without blemish. Do you know how they achieved some of that? They swaddled them when they were young so that they would not touch others or any of the above. They were set aside and swaddled so that they would be blemish free. Look in Leviticus 22 and 21. If you present a peace offering to the Lord from the herd of the flock, whether it is to fulfill a vow or a voluntary offering, you must offer a perfect animal that it may have no defect of any kind. You see, that announcement to the lowliest shepherds would have understood the idea of swaddling and the Messiah in the same notion. Because they would have understood that we're raising temple lambs to be spotless, to be able to be used for sacrifice, raised to die as a sacrifice. I always wondered, why are they announcing this swaddling? Every baby on the planet swaddled. Context. The shepherds would have known that in a snap, knowing that that Messiah was coming, perfect and without a challenge of any sort, right? I love the little notes here. Well, how do we know that swaddling was done? Well, it was done in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was written about 200 AD, and it took all the oral traditions and the customs and some of the law and put it into law. A quick thing on oral tradition. Is it the telephone game or telegraph? What's that? Where you sit in a circle and somebody whispers and it comes out? Telephone. Is that telephone? It has nothing to do with phone, but it has a lot to do with tele, right? So if I was in the Air Force, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I had my feet through an open back chair, and somebody said I had a phone call, and I jumped up out of the chair, and I did a minor fracture in my foot. When I got to back home a couple of weeks later, they said, dude, where's the cast? They thought I had broken all the way up to my hip. It had gone from a little fracture on my foot to a whole body fracture. That's not how oral tradition works, right? So the Broncos, when they won their first Super Bowl, their very first Super Bowl, you know that the quarterback was Drew Brees, right? Right? Yes or no? Oh, oral tradition. You're making the correction when the known history is made known to be off or a little queer. Does that make sense? You all knew that it was Craig Morton. No, he was the first one that took him to a Super Bowl, right? You know it was John Elway, right? You see how, yeah, okay. All right, I feel good. Now I'm not disturbed. It was Elway. It was not those other two guys. Oral tradition works like that. So oral tradition handed over the years is not something that's a hand-me-down. You're sitting there telling stories a multitude of times in this oral group, and that would become cemented. And I would argue better than your electronics today, because the mind gets so easily distracted and diminished by too much of this. You watch a lot of videos, I'm going to tell you something. You start getting addicted, and then that becomes your dopamine releases. That's why you see these young guys, all they do is have their head in the phone. Me, I have my head in the phone, I'm always researching. They have their head in the phone doing stuff, and you talk to them, they can't talk. Why? Don't fault them. They've lost track here. They can't make correlation, let alone conversation. What do? Reach up and smack them real good. Take that phone, sling it as far as you can. Don't worry, they got GPS tracker. John 1:29, please. The next day, John saw Jesus, John the Baptist, coming toward him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Not Luke 2. We have echoes of this swaddling for this perfect lamb that's going to be slaughtered on our behalf. The lambs atoned yearly for sins then. Jesus atoned once and how long? Say it Sandlot style. Forever. Right? You got to keep that in mind. Here, Hebrews 10:10. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for what? Jesus' swaddling is the first whisper of that. Why would the angels come in and say, you'll recognize him in a manger, not a crib? You'll recognize him commonly for swaddling? Why would that be such a higher thing? It's subtle. It's subtle in the sense of its humanity of wrapping, but it's divine in the sense of the foretelling of what was to come. Shepherds understanding swaddling so that those little yearling lambs would be perfect before it all. They caught that lamb vibe. It was in Bethlehem, their own backyard. A lot of sacrifice would have happened. The angels spotlight it for recognition. But this pregnancy of meaning is so dramatic. Humanity and sacrifice tangled in those swaddling cloths. Jewish law requires a goel, say it. G-O-E-L. Goel, say it. The first. Okay, not. Right. That word means redeemer. It's a kinsman redeemer. Leviticus 25, please. If one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and is forced to sell something, sell some family land, then a close relative should buy it back for him or come in his stead. Make atonement for that, right? We saw it played out in Boaz for Naomi. He brought her under her wing, thus Ruth. And we know Ruth. Story, if not, go read. Sin's the debt. Only a kin can take that cup. Do you guys remember when Jesus, you don't remember that story, but you remember the telling or the reading of that story where he's got sweat beads on his head. You remember that, hearing that? Where he's sweating it the night before, going to the cross. That's called hypovolemia, where it's so hot, the blood vessels are so sensitive that they'll just literally pop blood through your forehead. You know, we think about that. Oh, he's thinking about the cross. The cross is part of it, but it's the minor part of it. It's the cup of judgment. He is knowing that he has to go before a righteous God who he has been with from the dawn of time. Look at John 1:1-2. Don't read that now. And he knows what that cup of judgment is. Every single sin to that time that was committed was in that cup. Every single sin that was being committed at that time was in that cup. And all the sins to come, which you are part of that from that perspective, the to come, are in that cup. And oh, by the way, the sins of those that are coming behind you are in that cup. Going up against a righteous God, you don't think that there is a trembling in the sense of true fear? The stress was so monumental. The cross was evident in it. That was a normative thing to see people being crossed up. Syria got it. Roman took it to an art form, right? To have people on a crosses up and down the road would be normative, such that you probably wouldn't even see that. And also remember, he was beaten so badly that you could not recognize him as a human. Having some of the Catholic Church in my past, you see Jesus on the cross with a wrap across his loinal area, and you see a couple of scars, one in the side. That wasn't it at all. You probably would not even recognize the side of him. You would not recognize the levels of scarring because he was beaten so badly that you could not tell that that was a human being on that cross. You understand? You don't think that there's a little sweating going on for standing before the Lord with all the sins of all mankind, knowing that he has to fulfill what the Lord has asked of him? Christians, you're of that same bend. You're here to be a martyr. Okay, let me make that a little easier. You're here to be a witness. You know what witness means?
Yeah.
Martyr. It means that you'll die for him. Well, do I have to get up on a cross? I don't know. God has that for you to do. Well, I'm not a savior. No, you're not. But the evidences of your comportment unto death that you're still a Christian is that evidence to a non-believing world. You're the only Jesus that they may know. So that whole swaddled up in human clothing to be a perfect spotted, a spot-free lamb, to take that cup of judgment for you and for me, that announcement from the single angel and then the host, which would be thousands, saying X, Y, Z, that's something you've got to take into consideration. He's born to redeem. You understand that? You guys know what it's like here at Christmas. Mary Lou puts out that little baby sitting in that little, what do you call it? Manger, right? Him on top of the food. And what do I always put next to him? A nail. Why? Because he was born to die for me. That's so harsh. Get over it. Because that's the reality of the situation. That's the reality of it. Why was he laying in a manger? I don't know. What do we do when we're not on a fasting time? We have a communion, take my body and my blood, right? Nothing in this. It's just something that's pretty obvious. When the critters come in to eat, there's a manger there, whether it was wood or marble or concrete, not marble, but some type of stone. He was a stone crafter. He was a woodsmith. He had all of that ability. I don't know what it is, and it doesn't bother me that I don't know. We go with wooden cross. Okay, wooden manger, wooden cross. Great story. Could have been stone. Doesn't matter. But why did they put him in a food trough? I don't know. You can look into this fairly easily. But we're the sheep, right? You see that, what's that called, that windmill up there? Your prairie schooner? The wind blows the windmill. It pumps the water out so the livestock can have water. The wind is the Holy Spirit. The water is the Word. The livestock is us. Kind of the same type of deal. He's laying on top of the food. You know, we're going to feast on Christ. It's just imagery. I love it. They could have put him anywhere. They put him on top of that hay. Yeah, it's for softening and all the above. But you still got to understand that there's some stuff going on here. Because why would they say he's laid in a manger? That's obviously a distinction. You know. Because not every child's going to have a manger in their house. Do you guys have a crib or a manger, you folks with littles? You stick them in. I was in the bottom drawer. I was a chunky kid. So you put me in the top drawer, it falls over and it's over, right? Go to Mark 6:3, please. They scoffed. He's just a carpenter's son, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They didn't believe him, but that speaks of his ability, his craft. You knew Jesus had four brothers, yes? There you go. How many sisters do you have? IDK. I don't know. They didn't count them? We don't have that story. Look at this other. Luke 22:19-20. He took some bread, gave thanks for it. He broke it into pieces, gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in what? And how often are we to do it? However often we gather. So you have people over to your house, or it's just you. You ought to break some bread in these ways. After supper, in verse 20, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as sacrifice. Take my body and eat. Bit of a metaphor for the sheep food. John 6:53-55. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you can't have eternal life within you. Do you understand it's a metaphor? We're not eating his skin, right? We're not drinking his blood. His skin was sacrificial. Right, his blood was spilt. We do this in remembrance of him, not just as an honoring thing. We live our lives like that, spilled out. Our bodies, our blood. Christian, little modelers of Christ. The cracker is the call for us to come. The blood is our acknowledgement that seals it. The manger's through where the sheep come to eat, and we're sheep. I think it's just, to me, again, it's just pregnant with perspective. We're his sheep. His sustenance laid out for us. Luke 22, 42 through 44, please. Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Did you catch that? He didn't say take the cross from me. He said take the cup of suffering. They would have understood that in a colloquial of the day. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Christian, listen to me. This is your mantra. I want your will, not mine, Lord. Well, I don't want to do this. I'll tell you again the quick story. Woman driving, she said she heard God tell her to go do a handstand in front of the Coke machine at the local 7-Eleven or convenience store. She thought it was weird, but I'm going to go do it. Little did she know the person that was there that you pay out, what do you call the clerk? The clerk had been struggling with his faith for the Lord. And he said, all right, if you're God and you're really God, I'll test you out. Have somebody do a handstand in front of the Coke machine. I don't know, dude. God has you do goofy stuff sometimes. Are you going to be Zechariah? I'm too old. No, dude, you wanted a baby. Here it is. I'm too this. I can't do a handstand. Says who? My belly will show. We'll get a Sharpie and we'll draw a happy face on it. I don't care. What does the Lord have you to do? Go do that. And it may seem peculiar. Well, what happens if I fail? You get back up again and try it again. You're learning. That baby, does that baby walk yet?
No, she crawls.
She crawls and she does this. She scuffs her knees and the heels of her hands on the floor, right? She's going to love it when she finds out how cool the heels are when she can walk. And you know what happens when she crawls around like that? She can only go so far. She can go far fast. But wait till she get wheels. And she's going to learn how to run, and she's going to fall on her face 100, 150 times. They're going to have padding on everything around so she don't crack her melon wide open. And if she comes in with her melon wide open, you go over there and help them put some more padding up, right? That kid's learning to walk. You're learning to walk in the Holy Spirit. It's not some abracadabra mystical thing. Take a deep breath through your nose and blow it out your mouth on the count of three. One, two, three. Blow it out hard. One more time. One, two, three. In your nose. Blow it out hard. Holy Spirit. Dunamos. Wind. Explosive. Just like that. Did you question the air? Did it work? You do it one or two more times, you're going to pass out and we'll be like, wake up. Right? But that's the Holy Spirit. See, you've gotten so used to breathing since they went, wah, 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 and you got your first air, you're done with liquid, now you're there for oxygen. And God designed all of that. Wacky to me. You look at pregnancy and the authority of God in the creative sense, and you go, you can make a child in a body that goes from this to this in no time. You have men that create 1,500 spermazoid per heartbeat, and that spermazoid outran. And by the way, every one of you have won the big race. You beat all the other spermazoids to find that egg, and boom, here you are. And God did all that. Isn't that something? Does that check with your history of how we have come to being humans? That they can live in liquid for 9 months? Whatever that. Okay, well, I was a preemie. Okay, whatever. You were still in liquid for X amount of time. Or do they stick them in water till they start to go, ah, how do they do it now? Do they whack them on the, I got whacked on the fanny. You know, that's probably why I talk so much. I got whacked on the fanny. I started breathing oxygen. It seemed to work. You pat him on the back hard or just like, come on. Okay. See, I don't know any of this stuff because I'm not the guy going in the room. If Mary had a baby, I'm like, go at it. I don't want to see all that. Just give me that baby when it's in. Clean it up. I'll take it over there. That's not my deal. Right? Well, you sissy. Okay, call me that. But I'm not going in there. I'll puke. And then I'll have puke on the baby too. I got a queasy stomach. Let it go. God made that to happen. And he's got these abilities for you to do things that are so peculiar, so queer. Queer means odd, by the way, if you don't know. It's just such a peculiarity how he has for you to do things. And you should do things. Listen, is it 2 Peter? I don't have it. It says we're a peculiar people, a chosen generation. He already knows you're peculiar. And the whole world will think you're nuts. Yeah, but you're nuts for the Savior. Nuts from Nazareth. It's okay. Be you. Okay, well, I'm buttoned down. Well, then be buttoned down for Jesus. Well, I'm kind of dramatic. Well, then be dramatic for Jesus, but just do it for Jesus. And get people to come and to know him by your love for them, caring for them, all the above. If you're willing, your will, not mine, be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. This wasn't some like little rain and blood for you. A little bit more to the story. Swaddled clothes, meals on wheels. The cross gets the spotlight. It definitely does. But the cup is heavier than the cross because it's about sin itself. Isaiah 53:5, please. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so he could be whole, so we could be whole. And that means perfect, the word we would use. Perfection, not without fault, in the sense perfection, we're made complete. That's what that word means. He was whipped so we could be healed. You know, you see The Chosen, or you see whatever version of Jesus that you love on the movies over the years, or read in whatever's in your mind. Does it hurt you when you get through the stories to know that he is going to go through this for me, and yet I call him my friend, but I didn't think enough of him to not sin, so I just did that again, and yet he still died for me. All I know, I was talking with one of the brothers this morning, and it kind of came up. Our past had been tapping on our shoulder. His, I didn't realize he was going through it. I just looked at him and said, man, my past is tapping me on the shoulder coming in this morning. And I was sitting there just getting crushed coming in. And I could hear Mary's voice, but she wasn't the Lord. It was just the Lord was using that. And it says, yeah, but you're not that person anymore. That's not you. Amen. This is you forward. I still have the weight of poor decision, but I also have to know I didn't know Jesus. And I was taught by thugs and idiots. You know? That's just the way it was. Do you know the next thought I had? Was I can hardly wait to go see. I had a girlfriend in high school that got killed when she was 16. Got run over by a drunk truck driver. Broke my heart for years. We didn't have people around us to help us through it. Suck it up. We're the suck it up great group. And I was sitting there thinking, they let that guy out. 10 days later, he killed somebody else as a pedestrian, drunk driving as a truck driver. He could have been on a motorcycle, any of the above. Dude, we're talking the 70s. Come on. Oh, wait a minute. We're talking, wasn't one brother killed another brother with a stone because he was jealous of his offering? Oh, yeah, that was the kids of Adam and Eve. Okay. So there's nothing new under the sun. And what I was thinking in that second thought after I hear Mary's voice, I think in that second thought I was going, you know what, one of the things I'm going to be relieved when I get to heaven is that it's all made new. I mean, it's made new now, but it's like new. You know, my past isn't haunting me, that conversation. And my past isn't haunting me. What I was thinking is, when I get to heaven, even though I know I'm redeemed right now, bought with the blood and the drops, I'm redeemed. I know that. And the enemy is still trying to trip me up when God's going to be doing something really chill, right? And so I think when I step over that threshold, because my last air in is Yah, my last exit of year is way, Yah, right? That last breath and my first is Yahweh. And my last breath will be in Yah, out way. And I'll be in his presence. And my mind of my past will be eliminated forever. I'll never have those dragging downs that I already know I'm not that man anymore, but sometimes it holds me down a bit. And so that's why you want to have your scripture. You do understand that if you're reading scripture four times a week, your ability to share, memorize, do all sorts of cool stuff, I'll bring you stats another day on that. One time a week, barely will have a measure on you. A couple of times a week, not much more. 4 days a week, it's exponential growth that happens in you. So in having those times where I'm reading of scripture and just seeing the Lord use the people and their situations to help fill, it reminds me of that price he's paid, and it reminds me that he is showing all sorts of indicators of himself. You look at Romans 1, 20, 22, right in there, where he's talking about, well, what, here, I'll put it in a modern way. What about the little boy in Siberia that never heard about Jesus Christ? Well, God speaks to that in a thing called general revelation. You'll see all the things that are created of the Lord, yet you don't attribute that created unto him. You know, we had these revelations of God constantly. One of my favorites, I've talked to you about it before, maybe it's because our teacher, we put it between two sheets of paper and take a crayon and draw over a leaf. Did y'all ever do that? You saw all those little veins on there? I love those things, right? And you hold it up to the sunlight, and it's just brilliant. And God created that design so that we could breathe and have oxygen, and birds would have a place to go put their babies, and here we go all over again. 20 times a year or whatever it is. That swaddling is the entry point into humanity. That swaddling of him, or the angels would not have announced it. And they announced it to shepherds that would understood what perfect swaddling, what a perfect linking that is. It starts in Bethlehem. He's swaddled in the tomb. So he comes in swaddled. He's swaddled on the exit, and he breaks the bonds of humanity in the tomb, listen, to show his righteousness, that he's beyond the tomb. Swaddled here, swaddled 33 years later, and none of the stuff of the earth bound him any longer. I think there's something there to potentially explore a little more in your thinking or broaden you a little bit more. And you may say, Dave, you're full of hooey. Well, hooey tastes horrible, and that's okay if you say that about me. I don't mind. But why did the angels announce it then and said, why are you looking in there at the end? He's not here. And what was left? Burial clothes? Something there. It started in Gethsemane. I love that he used the outcast, the grungy guys that were taking care of sheep. I don't think you understand what it's like to be a rancher. Have any of you ranched before I get into this? Okay, great. And have you had it where you don't get to get away from your critters? See, when we ranch, we didn't go on vacation because every day the critters need to be tended to. Do you understand? And there you've got sheep and all sorts. If there's lightning, weather, whatever, you're out in it. You're not going off for a bath and, oh, let's go down to In-N-Out and grab a whoever and whatever. You know, they got scripture on their stuff. You know, Whataburger does too. Did you know that? If you pick up a cup and turn it over and write whatever your scripture on. I'm kidding. That's inside humor. They didn't have that. They were bound to their duty as a good shepherd is. Are you listening now? Because David was a shepherd, king. A child was anointed king, shepherd, swaddled. Shepherds got to hear it, and they understood that this king is going to be a shepherd to us, never, ever leaving our side. You know, I look at when he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That's shepherd talk. Did you know that? Because nothing around Bethlehem, the city has the city life. Everything around it is all agrarian. The apostles were swaddled in the sense, this is metaphoric. The apostles swaddled unto Christ. Clothe yourself in righteousness, something to that effect. Set apart for him. sacrifices so others may know the Lord. We talked about that. John 15, 18 through 20 as we're closing. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me. Stop. Do you remember that? Yes, no? If the world hates you, if it is, let's try it this way, as the world hates you, because it's going to. You don't think so? Go jump on some of your social media and here, try this out. Start living for Jesus on there and make bold acclamations. And your friends, man, you open it up outside your friends and put it public. Brent, let me ask you a question. When you talked up, TikTok, when you talked up, that went pretty good, yeah?
Only a few death threats.
Huh? Only a few death threats. Only a few death threats. And you had, what, about 28,000 people following you, something like that? Something, doesn't matter. And by the way, you don't know, pardon? Okay, so anyway, the bottom line is, you're going to get it. You're going to get hit. Who cares? Who cares? Nobody cares. You're drawn unto the Lord to go share the Lord with others. You've got to be understanding that the world hated him first, and you are a Christian. I love Jesus, except that whole I don't want to be taken down part. Sorry. That's part of the taking into account or into the equation before you start to follow him. What king will go to war? What builder will build a building without first having a plan? Think it through, Christian. You're living your life for him, even unto death. I am a Christian. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than its master. Since they persecuted me, ditto, bro. Naturally, they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They're bound to him. We're using the term swaddled loosely. It's a new world. We're to be wrapped in Jesus. Here, try this. Romans 12, 1. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy what? No, say it with boldness. Holy and living what?
Sacrifice.
That's what you're to do. Sacrifice. No crying in sacrifice. Oh, I may be in the middle. The kind he would, now listen, the kind of sacrifice that he would find acceptable. It's on his terms, right? And you know what that is? Humility of heart, humility of purpose, pride set aside. Sacrificial love. Oh, by the way, he came to get served. He wanted, please, could I have another piece of bread? I need to do another dissertation on the bread. No, he washed their feet. The worst job ever. The wiping bottoms of adult job he did for you and I. He did for the disciples, the one he kept near him. He washed their feet, the lowliest of jobs, to show that he came to serve. Thus, we are to represent that same level of servitude. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy. Oh, that was so weak. Living and holy.
Sacrifice.
Thank you. The kind he would find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You want to worship him? Sacrifice all of you for all of him. They did it to Jesus. They will do it to you. Persecution is our swaddling cloth, tying us to his path. Our hope in Jesus on the throne, eternal and unshaken. John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. Who is the capital W Word? Jesus, right? And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Holy Spirit and God Trinity orchestrating it. From the swaddling cup to now. Revelation 5:13. And then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea. They sang. Did you know whales sing? Okay, good. The blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Do you think I give a rat fink about a timeline of a census, or if Quirinius was actually the governor there, or if Herod was already dead? I don't care about any of that stuff. The annals of time will yield itself. You know, the only thing that matters is Christ in you and what you're doing for him. Are you getting this? Is this delving into you just a little bit? Swaddling is no throwaway. This announcement of the swaddling, this announcement of the manger, is not a throwaway by any stretch of the imagination. It's an identification, but it's an identification not just of geography, of what he is doing for you and me. It's humanity, that swaddling. It's humanity in the swaddling. It's sacrificial kinship. It's a food source, all rolled up, as the angels call it and writes 70 years later, kinsman redeemer, from Adam to the end, he's yours. Isn't that wild? One man, one act, all time covered. Manger to Last Supper, body and blood, food for sheep, atonement at a cellular deep level. Quirks of census and the arguments about what Bible should be this or that. IDC. I don't care. Maybe you do, and I'm glad. Apostles swaddled to him. We swaddle now. Hope is in him as enthroned. And the census discussion will fade in blazes, because one day it'll all burn. This, to me, when I see this announcement from the angels, only announce what God wants them to announce. It's complete, it's perfect, every thread loose and alive. Swaddling kicks it off. Kin, lamb, food, manger feeds us, cup redeems us, apostles echo it, hope crowns it, Jesus orchestrates every note. Adam's fall to the thrones forever census is a speck in this galaxy. Nothing's missing. Not one thing. What has God showed you? What's on your note page? Go.
Jesus in the manger, later he said, I am the bread of life. And then he said, take this bread and eat.
Anybody else? This time is what you're going to be talking with your friends about. Don't make me point to you. Just speak.
Jesus
go.
Jesus is born to die for our sins. Harsh, hard to hear, very offensive, very effective.
When I think about, like, the world, and then you look at how Jesus actually lived his life, I think when we think of the world, we just think of everyone who's not Christian. But half of the problems I had online came from others who called themselves Christian. Who was it who ultimately put Jesus in
the ones that should have known better? Same. Go ahead, real loud.
The question is, how are we swaddled into Jesus today?
So I know that next Sunday we're going to have, wrap it up, right? Are you guys going to swaddle your food? Danny, what did God show you? I know it's a stretch. Listen up. Willingly.
Willingly. He sacrificed to become a single cell amoeba and attach himself to a woman. And, you know, but it was all to fulfill prophecy. It was all to fulfill
what God's going to do with us and for us. You know, after Jesus' death, a large part of the rabbis, specifically the ones doing the Leviticals, doing all the sacrifices, you know, they left the faith of Judaism and moved towards the people of the way. We weren't called Christians then. We were called the way. And they interviewed some sheep after the sacrifices kind of slowed down and they didn't have to go be sacrificed. And they said, what was it like before? And they said, oh, it was bad. Okay, whatever. Go ahead. Outfly the tomatoes. This is all sealed in vinyl, so. Go ahead, sis, real loud.
I was just going to say, to kind of go off of what Danny said, Danny said
listen
more.
Up.
Our whole purpose is to live for the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So